Feels like it's been a while since I talked to you guys, even though it's been just 1 week. I don't know, did the last week just feel long or what was it? I don't know. Maybe with the Saturn Kazemi and yeah, I think big Saturn transits can sometimes feel like they're dragging along in a lot of ways because Saturn moves slow. I one time had an astrology teacher tell me that Mars transits fire early and Saturn transits fire late. And I was thinking about how maybe that Saturn Kazemi, even though it's now the sun is past the perfected degree, there was, yeah, I think there's still that lingering energy with that big Saturn transit from this week. Thank goodness it's which church exactly. I'm gonna screenshot that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, thank goodness it's which church. Yeah, how are we doing, my friends? Any interesting happenings that came from the big Saturn transit from last week? Reminder, it would have been in Pisces. So that Saturn, technically, it was Saturn and Mercury, both conjunct the Sun at 9 degrees Pisces. So there likely would have been some kind of happenings. In that Piscean house. And I think in general, there were some really big changes that I was watching around me as well. Like one of my coworkers got offered like full time. Like that seemed like a Saturn Kazemi moment, especially because it was something they had been hoping for a long time and waiting for patiently for a long time. And sometimes Saturn manifestations kind of feel like, ooh, I got to be patient, or like I had to wait a while, for this to actually come through. Yeah, that happened. What else? There was a couple of stories I was hearing from the outside that I was like, ooh, that's a Saturn transit. Overall, I think that Saturn Kazemi was about finding expansion within the limitation. So what does that mean in English? Well, it's about acknowledging the truth of the situation, the truth of the foundation, the truth of the limitations of the situation at hand, and then acting in accordance with the reality, right? Which is very Saturn, was actually the thing that was going to create the abundance, right? So that was, yeah, it being ruled by Jupiter, right? So that's kind of the tea on Saturn and Pisces. And of course, we'll still be feeling this, I think, for at least a couple weeks. Sherry, you said we started interviewing for a new principal at my school, which was very Saturn and Pisces. Yeah. And I wonder how that's going to affect your experience as a teacher. Because I know we are both Cancer rising, so this Saturn transit is affecting the ninth house, which can be our role as teacher in this lifetime. Speaking of that, I wanted to say, my friends, that I am contemplating with my Fools Who Run With the Wolves book club container. Originally, I had it scheduled for Saturday. It was like 10 a.m. Central Time. And I haven't been, like, there's a handful of people signed up, but I'm thinking there's also been some people who have reached out to me and said, I wish it was on a weeknight. And all of the people who are signed up on that Saturday have told me that they are willing to potentially move to Tuesday. And if anybody here or anybody who's listening on the replay, if anybody would definitely join if I moved it to Tuesday evenings, it would be like a 6 p.m. Central time. Let me know, because this is something I struggle with. Speaking of the Saturn Kazemi in my ninth house of teaching, I'm like, when do people want the classes? I always ask you guys, is it weekdays? Is it weeknights? And it's always a push and pull with what works for everybody's schedule and what works for my schedule, right? So long story short, contemplating moving my Women Who Run With the Wolves transformative book club container to Tuesday nights. And please, please, please reach out to me if you would definitely sign up if I moved it to that Tuesday night instead of Saturday. Because again, some people were saying that they wanted a weeknight. Also, Katie, you said, I was wondering if the class is good for returning students. I know the book has so much to offer, but I wanted to ask. Yeah, that's an interesting thought, Katie. And I was going to reach out to you specifically because when you filled out my form, my student review form recently, thank you so much for filling that out. You requested some kind of Women Who Run With the Wolves Part 2, which I found to be a really interesting idea. And I've been sitting with that. For people who have joined the container before, it'll be different people. And I mean, in my experience of reading Women Who Run With the Wolves, I get a different message from the book each time. Because I'm going through different things, and it's kind of similar to pulling a tarot card. Like every time you pull the Fool, it's different. It's a different vibe. So I think different perspectives in this class, you may be within a different paradigm, or you're able to receive parts of the book that you haven't been able to receive before, or certain things stand out to you that may have not stood out before. I'll more than likely, if not definitely, have like fresh journaling prompts and things like that that aren't necessarily a direct repeat from the first container. So I'll say that to anybody who's taken this class before. And but also definitely for the people who loved the first container, I think the Women Who Run With the Wolves Part 2, something's in the mix with that. And I would love to do that after this particular container, right? So enough about that. Thanks guys, you guys are the best. So let's talk about the astrology of this week. And this week, I would say the main transits actually have to do with Uranus. And one of those transits is actually happening today. And it is currently, as we speak, it is Sunday, March 3rd. And Venus is actually passing through a square with Uranus, okay? Now, this is a transit we are somewhat familiar with because it's not necessarily the most rare transit, right? Like Venus will square Uranus maybe about twice a year, oppose Uranus once a year, and conjunct Uranus about once a year, give or take, okay? This is something we've experienced before. But what's funny is that the beginning of the week right now starts with Venus square Uranus. And the end of the week by Friday, we have Mars square Uranus. Because right now, both Venus and Mars are still in Aquarius. So there's something, we've been feeling into Venus co-present with Mars for a while now. Actually, I want to see how long. Beep boop. How long has Venus just been co-present with Mars? Oh, that's funny. Okay, so like since right around Valentine's Day, technically it was February 16th, Venus and Mars have both been in Aquarius. Gosh, guys, when Venus and Mars are in the same sign, you know, because these are the relational planets, I mean, it sounds so obvious, but, you know, something happens in the way we're relating to others, right? Like, there's this pressure that happens. It feels like there's some kind of pressure cooker, maybe on our relationships. We suddenly have to decide how we're going to face certain conflicts. We have to acknowledge something that we haven't acknowledged before, especially within the realm of relationships. And we really do have to decide what is the best and highest way to communicate with others. Just because both Venus and Mars have to do with how we come into harmony with one another. And you may not think of Mars that way, because even from my own teachings, it's like Mars, planet of war, planet of conflict. But if you think about it, Mars goes to war on the premise that they are fighting for something that they're passionate about, right? And then want their way, right? Like, Mars typically doesn't just start a fight to start a fight. There's usually something beneath it, right? Venus now, Venus isn't just this sweet little lamb who only brings peace. I mean, Venus also, you know, fights for what they feel is right. And sometimes harmony takes conflict. That's the nature of human existence, right? Like, we can't have an experience of one side of the coin without acknowledging the other side of the coin, right? Like, that's just the heaven and hell we live in every day, right? Like, it's just the human experience constantly puts us in a situation where we are acknowledging, like, these intense dichotomies of human life and how they are all connected, right? So there's something about, you know, when Venus and Mars are together, it's like, that really gets highlighted, right? Like, it really gets highlighted. We already had the Venus-Mars conjunction in Aquarius. And now they're separating, right? Venus is going to square Uranus. And then by next week, she'll move on to Pisces. And then Mars will square Uranus and move on to Pisces as well. And Venus will slowly but surely speed ahead, right? And get ahead of Mars. So here's the tea, my friends. With this week, with the square to Uranus, what does a square to Uranus mean in English? Well, anytime a planet, any planet, squares Uranus, it means change. It also means confrontation. I don't mean confrontation, like, in the way that we're like going up to our arch nemesis and like starting a fight, but Uranus does put us in the frequency of confronting what needs to be confronted, whether that be a literal person that we are in conflict with. It could be a part of ourselves that we are in conflict with. And spoiler alert, you know, usually when we're in conflict with a person outside of ourselves, they typically mirror a part of us that we are in conflict with inside of ourselves, right? In some way, shape, or form, because the people on the outside are mirrors to who we are on the inside and in some way, right? There's something we're confronting. There's some kind of change, some kind of energy shift that needs confrontation in order for us to clear the air and move forward, which is very much the square in astrological terms. It's like we've hit the dead end, and now I have to do a 90-degree turn and change my course. So really taking a deep breath and asking yourself, like, what are you confronting? Maybe what are you being called to confront? Is it a habit of yours? Is it an actual real life conversation with someone that could lead to, you know, a better relationship between you and this person? I mean, it doesn't have to be a breakup conversation. It doesn't have to be necessarily an ending, although it could be. That's the thing, with the mix of last week's Saturn Kazemi and this week Mars and Venus passing through the square to Uranus, I mean, there is an ending vibe to the sky. There's a little bit of like a chapter is closing, a new one is being reborn. So, I mean, raise your hand if you've seen someone break up in the last like 2 weeks. I mean, like, I feel like I've been seeing a lot of that in my periphery. But people are deciding, I can't build a foundation with this person any longer, or I really do want to build a foundation with this person, but something needs to change inside of myself. I really want to build a foundation with my own relationship to something. But again, something in my behavior needs to shift. An example of this. So it was interesting. What's the best way to describe this? There's this relationship in my life that has gone through many changes, and it's going through another change. It's going through another shift, and me and this person are trying to figure out how it is best to relate to one another, right? And I think one thing that this Venus Uranus Mars Uranus square is bringing up for me this week, you know, speaking of confrontation, I've realized there's actually this big part of me that I just want to sweep everything under the rug and move on. Like, there is this like shadow where I'm like, let's not talk about it, or like, I'm over it, I'm sweeping it under the rug, let's just forget about it. But the funny thing is, it's not necessarily my fear of being criticized, because if someone has an issue with me, I would like to know, you know, for sure. And I tend to feel like I'm pretty good at taking some kind of critique. But really what makes me uncomfortable is bringing my pain and my hurt to someone else's door and being like, this has been bothering me. And there's a huge part of me that just doesn't even want to bring that up to people. You know, like, I would rather sweep it under the rug, take the beating, you know, take the hurt feelings, and just like almost save that other person the emotional disruption my own hurt might cause them, right? But then I think I'm being kind. It's such a people-pleasing thing. I don't know if anybody else does this, like any other recovering people-pleasers. Like, we think we're being kind. We think we're saving the other person from pain by, you know, bringing in our own pain and just, like, pretending like we didn't get hurt. But then at the same time, it's almost like there's a few problems with that, because we're saying this person isn't capable of receiving my criticism or my hurt. We're saying, like, I'm actually kind of being in the frequency of dishonesty with this person. Now I'm building our relationship partially on a place of dishonest communication, and that can be kind of iffy, and that can blow up in our faces later. You know, like, there's so many things. So it is, you know, for me, the confrontation is with that people-pleasing part. You know, if I were really to feel into it, you know, I would think, ooh, my inner child's very afraid of giving people criticism, because if I had ever, you know, offered my parents critique or whatever, like, that would have never gone over well, right? Like, that sort of healthy receptivity of critique where someone says, okay, yeah, no, I hear it. I understand. I didn't mean it like that, but I get why you're feeling that. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't have many of those experiences as a kid where people really received what I was saying or my hurt and said, I hear it, I see it, I'm sorry, right? So now as an adult, I don't trust, you know, I can't trust, or I tend to have an issue with trusting that other people are capable of understanding their pain or like the what they caused you, right? Now I'm blabbing. I don't even know if this any of this makes sense. But there is some kind of tone of that in this week. As we're confronting these things with other people, it's true. Maybe they're not going to be received well. Right? Like, some people live in a state of emotional immaturity. I know I do in certain aspects, hence the story I just shared. We live in states of emotional immaturity, which really translates to my inner child is wounded. And some people don't react well. But then does that mean that we should not share how we're feeling? Should we not attempt the emotional vulnerability? I don't know, I think it's a case by case basis, but there seems to be a lot of relational dynamics in the air. Okay. Hey, Alexandra, good morning. You said, is it your birthday week? Yes, technically my birthday was Wednesday. I am in a new year, a new Jupiter ruled year, which I am excited about. Annie, you said, I feel this so much. Confrontation is hard. Yeah. So there's something in the air with that. You know what I'm thinking? I do have a card I want to discuss from the archetype deck, but I was just organizing my bookshelf. My room was like such a mess. I'm trying to like spring clean. And I came across Decolonizing Nonviolent Communication. I don't think this book is in print anymore. Making that up, but it's a great workbook. I mean, I've used this book in, I think, my highly sensitive person container. So let's do a little bibliomancy with this Decolonizing Nonviolent Communication, because I think it could be a helpful tool for this week as we kind of, I don't know, balance what we're confronting, what kind of conversations we're having. You know, are we breaking up? Are we staying together? If this doesn't necessarily have to do with your own interpersonal relationships, you know, you could be having a conversation with your own self, right? Okay, so I just flipped to this page. It's actually like an activity that the author, Medanshi, is offering us. And I'm going to put the author's name, Medanshi, in the chat. If you're listening, it's Medanchi. Okay, so the author offers us this activity. So she says, mourning the unmet need is one practice for releasing toxic anger's hold on us. The practice itself is quite simple, but it calls for an amount of bravery and trust. Trust that there is nothing to fix. Trust that being present is enough. This activity can be done individually or in a group to honor what needs have gone unmet for all. So she says, consider an instance that triggers sorrow or some flavor of toxic anger. This actually sounds very square to Uranus. Then she says, identify the underlying unmet need, picking one to begin with. Meditate on this need. Begin tracking what comes alive in your body. With each breath, let yourself go deeper into where this need lives in your body. Savor the sweetness of the need, whether it is met or not. Hold yourself with grace as you come out of your meditation with love for having acknowledged the depth of your grief. Okay, so what I'm getting out of this is, you know, as we do perhaps go through some kind of confrontation this week, whether it's with ourselves, with others, being aware of the unmet need within ourselves is really important. And I'm getting that it's okay to feel the full spectrum of this unmet need, and perhaps to truly communicate from a place of nonviolent communication. We need to acknowledge this unmet need within ourselves before we actually bring it to the other, right? And that could change everything. And we do really communicate from a place of the unmet need all the time. You forgot this bag, you know, or you forgot, I'm like thinking, you forgot this in the car, and you, so it translates, you forgot me, I feel forgotten, a part of me feels forgotten. You know, like even just in everyday banter, see if you can just silently recognize when someone else is communicating from an unmet need. And it's actually really fascinating, and it can help us recognize it within ourselves, right? Now, the other thing I was going to bring up for like guidance this week through the squares to Uranus was the archetype deck. Gosh, did I lose the card? Oh, no, it's on the floor. Hang on. So before Witch Church, I was just meditating a little bit, and I pulled a card from the Wild Unknown Archetypes deck by Kim Kranz. You guys know that's one of my favorites. And I said, Spirit, what is the archetype that can best help us work through this week's Venus and Mars squaring Uranus? And the card that I got was the Vow. Which is so interesting because, like, this image of the holding hands feels very Mars Venus to me. You know, it feels like a very Mars Venus image. And the vow is a really interesting concept to consider when we have squares to Uranus, because again, Uranus is change, Uranus is evolution. And isn't it interesting that human life is so very changeable? We change literally every day. Yet, we do this thing, where we try to, in such an impermanent world, we try to create permanence in a lot of ways. And the vow is, taking a vow is a way that humans try to create some aspect to permanence, right? Like, or some relationship to permanence. And I think that's really interesting. And it makes me think, can we actually take a vow? Because a vow says, I'm committing to something into forever, right? Until I die, even beyond death, maybe, in some vows. And is that the truth of the human experience? Can we really commit to such a deep permanence? Or are things bound to change? Are we bound to have to break our vows from, you know, time to time or whatever? And this isn't just about, like, marriage. Certainly, we all have enough examples in our personal lives of that vow in particular maybe breaking. But I was thinking, like, I know in some of my past life regression work that I've done, like, I feel deep in my bones that, you know, living in a monastic life is part of my soul's past. So, you know, I don't know if it's like a monk, being a monk or a priest or whatever, but it doesn't really matter. But the archetype of that, I'm taking a vow to God. I'm in relationship to God. That's something that's very much in my soul. And I was thinking, this actually just came up a couple days ago. I was thinking, I wonder if that vow of whatever it was, like vow of chastity or vow of silence or vow of dedication to the church or whatever it was I did in a past life, I wonder if that is still with me in this life. So when we're talking about breaking vows, you know, it kind of is a Uranus square kind of thing. Like, I have to break this in order to move forward. Or on the flip side, we could be recommitting or just straight up committing to something completely new, taking a new vow that feels right to us. Okay, so let me read what Kim Kranz says about the vow archetype. She also says we can, it's synonymous with the promise, the oath, or the contract. So when the vow is spoken, the air shifts. Karmic ties are formed and destiny tilts on its axis. Our words and intentions have immense power. There is a reason the great mythic stories of our past often include the recitation of oaths and the mixing of drops of blood as a mark of union. The tricky part is that reciting the vow, no matter how casually, activates the eternal and unseen forces of the world. The ancestors bear witness. The laws of nature respond. These promises cannot be said, cannot be unsaid, or forgotten. So breaking them can leave lingering complexities and loose ends. This card calls us to acknowledge the vows we are living by, consciously or unconsciously, and either recommit to it or create a ritual that signifies its closure. Let me read that one more time. The vow we are living by, consciously or unconsciously, this signifies either recommitting to it or creating a ritual that signifies its closure. You have been underestimating the power of your promises. Interesting. See, I feel like it relates. It relates a lot to squares to Uranus. And, you know, because Uranus is the planet of evolution, it also beckons us to think, like, what needs to evolve in this situation? So we will be thinking about that this week on a small scale and also a big scale, depending on, you know, the things that are coming up for us in our life at this moment, at this time. Okay. So those are my messages for this week. I would love to do some card polls for you all. So feel free to comment below any questions, or if you need a prayer request, let me know. And I'll repeat very briefly what I said earlier about my Fools Who Run With the Wolves container, which is a transformative therapeutic book club that where we read Women Who Run With the Wolves. I'm contemplating moving that class to Tuesday evenings. It would be 6 p.m. Central. So if you feel like you would definitely join if I moved it to a weeknight, please let me know ASAP. That would be really helpful. So, okay. Lauren? Laura, how's it going, my friend? I knew that didn't sound right. I would love a card on my relationships. Okay. Okay, the Star. This makes me feel like, this makes me feel that even though the situation may be really challenging or difficult, there's some kind of healing power in the difficulty. And I also think that there's some very deep things that may be being triggered at the moment, as all relationships, you know, will do from time to time. And I think with the Star, you know, it's reminding us that healing isn't always pretty. You know, healing doesn't always feel good. But this also feels like it's kind of a rite of passage within the relationship you are in right now, whether that's a friendship or your significant other or your mom or your dad. Feels like this is a karmic experience that your soul wanted to invite in some way. And I think remembering that things don't feel easy right now, and at the same time, there's something important happening behind the scenes, whether that be unconsciously, consciously, or spiritually. Okay. East Rob, you said I would love a card for the week. I'm so sorry, I always forget your name. Okay, or I always forget whose name is associated with this handle. Okay. Ten of Wands. Okay, this feels to me like the Mars Uranus square this week is resulting in a shift in priorities for you. And there's something maybe that has felt like you're not actually passionate about it, yet it's being prioritized over other things that you actually do want to be working on. So I would actually meditate on the word priority or prioritization or something and really see what your higher self wants to prioritize in this moment. Katie, you said I would love a poll for the week ahead. Thanks, Mal. Thank you, Katie. King of Pentacles. Okay. Katie, this makes me think that when it comes to like the vow archetype and then getting the King of Pentacles, I think there's some maybe family or ancestral story that you are transforming in your own lifetime. And maybe this has to do with money, security, even what does success mean? It feels to me like this week, it's a good time to really define success on your own terms and really acknowledge how successful you are. And it can be a lot of pressure to think about how our ancestors might have viewed success and then like, oh my God, are we really living up to this or whatever? But then at the same time, success is a very personal thing. It's our story. It's our own frequency. So I think there's something about this week that's inviting you to reclaim that success story for your own self. Lauren, you said I'm in the middle of a big health shift and I would love an anchor card for moving through that. Yeah, sure, Lauren. Ace of Pentacles. This makes me feel like the resources that you need are there, and perhaps this is like a new doctor or maybe even a new therapist on your end, or a new healer, an energy healer, like an acupuncturist. You know, there's a couple sources of help that need to be accounted for in this situation. And with this health shift, just know that, you know, there's been different times in your life where you've had to, you know, learn the lesson of like, you're not alone or you can't do this by yourself. And now that you've learned that, like this health shift, it's sort of like, okay, who are my helpers in this situation? Is it like my personal trainer? Is it my chiropractor? Is it my general doctor? You know, like you need to have your helper team collected, and that will bring a lot of soothing to the anxiety. Allie, you said, I love a card pulled about some recent health stuff that has come up. Okay. So death in reverse. So, you know, it feels to me like with this health stuff, feels like there's actually a lifestyle shift that is needing to happen. And that can be really difficult. Like, I don't know, one of my friends found out that they were like had celiac disease and they're gluten intolerant, and even like making that huge diet shift of not having gluten anymore, like it's just like such a huge lifestyle shift. So I feel like there's some kind of resistance or hesitancy to maybe making the lifestyle shift that you know needs to happen, but then at the same time, that is the sort of reality, or there's something in that that needs to be accepted. You know, it's totally valid to feel frustrated about that. And at the same time, how can you shift towards kind of loosening up that resistance, that frustration, and move it into a little bit more of that active change and that active flow? Ellis, you said, can I get a card for career path? Yeah, Two of Swords. Oh my God, wait, let me show you this. So my two friends, they went to New Orleans and they saw this car, this picture in like some kind of store, and they got it for me and they were like, ooh, we just thought this is cool. And this, isn't this like the freakiest Two of Swords ever? Like, what is this even trying to communicate? Also, does anybody know what deck that is? but it is kind of spooky. So Two of Swords, Ellis, I'm getting you don't have enough information, and something is going to change. You will have more information within the next couple months, but it's like the information that you need in order to shift or make the change hasn't arrived yet. So right now it feels like it's more about internally shifting towards, yeah, okay, I'm inviting in new opportunities, or I'm inviting in a different way of being, or I'm inviting in a different skill set. Like, it's like doing the internal work to shift you to that place of getting ready to change. Okay, but the change isn't happening per se this week. Jesse, you said, can I have a card for my career path? Yeah, let's see. Ooh. All right, this popped out here. Cool. Okay, so we have Ace of Cups and Eight of Cups. So this is beautiful. I feel like it's a good reminder that leaving a situation or leaving a sort of leaving and making space. It's like you're making space for more of the career that you want to have. And I think that is kind of what is being depicted here in these cards. And what does making space really mean? Like, does it mean like quitting your job tomorrow? No, maybe, maybe not. But I'm thinking, like, how are you making mental and emotional space for the next step, the new opportunity? Because these are cups, right? So there's some kind of emotional story to this career shift that you might be making. So I hope that helps, Jesse, but I do think like there's something waiting for sure on the other side of the change. Hey, Abby, I hope you're having a good time in Thailand. Alexandra, you said, I would love a card for the week. Health is the topic of last week. A prayer for my health would be appreciated. Of course, Alexandra, I'm in full agreement that things come back to equilibrium for you. And Three of Cups is coming in the form of like a detox. So, like, you know, I think sometimes we can overdo it, you know, when we're celebrating and we're having fun. But now it is time to detox a bit, like limiting yourself on like toxic toxins. I mean, like maybe it's like not drinking for a month, or making sure you have your smoothie every morning, or I don't know, like whatever you do that makes you feel nourished, and bringing those good health practices back in. This has more to do with what you're putting in your body versus movement. But there's a big invitation to really, it's like that lifestyle shift. It's interesting that health is really coming through this week. Cool, guys. Stacy, you said, I have a new project. I'm excited, but I'm stuck in analysis paralysis. you want a card for clearing the anxiety. Cool. Queen of Wands. Well, I mean, this week's astrology is great for getting out of analysis paralysis. I think one of the reasons you're having analysis paralysis is because the new project, it's challenging an old insecurity, right? Like, because let's say you're an artist and you're opening an art gallery. But that old insecurity that says my art sucks, nobody likes it. No, who's going to buy this? This isn't realistic. All of those voices are really going to rev up, you know, before you're about to expand. Right. So I think it's less about the choice of expansion has already been made, but now, I think you need to be more aware of the what really is quote unquote the truth, and these old narratives rooted in insecurity are not the truth, and there's a new frequency waiting on the other side of change. So it's really about self-confidence this week, Stacey. Cool. Horner darling, you said I'd love a card for the week. Looking for some guidance. Knight of Swords. Okay, so as much as this week is kind of about confrontation and confronting ourselves, other people, having important conversations, I think what's important too is to be as regulated as possible when we have these conversations, because when our nervous system is in dysregulation, we can't really have a productive conversation a lot of the times. So I would actually ask you, Horner darling, are you ready to confront this on the outside, or are you still not finished dealing with the emotions on the inside, right? Like, because sometimes we need to like really be with the emotional experience and work through it and grieve it and squeeze it out, you know, and wring it out before we're actually ready to talk about it with the other person, right? So I would say keep confronting what's going on in your own emotional experience and be mindful of not entering a conversation or confrontation when you are maybe feeling a little dysregulated or whatnot. Okay. All right, my friends. That's it. You are all so welcome. Thanks so much for coming to Sunday service. Is that where? Witch Church. Forgot the name of my own podcast. So you're so welcome, Horner darling. We'll see each other next week. And I think, next Sunday is the Pisces new moon. So we'll see each other on the new moon. Keep me updated with what's going on with the Venus Mars square. Remember the vow archetype. What vow are you taking? What vows are you breaking? You know, like that could be a good archetype to experiment with this week. Okay, my friends. My March books are open as well. So if you want to book a session, that link is always in my show notes and the link in my bio. And it's just my name, MalloryHasty.com. I would love for you to step into my office. All right. Talk soon, my friends.